The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Well, one of my predictions from 1 month ago about 2025, that planes would start falling from the sky, literally, as part of the competency crisis, that we had reached that point. Well, there we are. Within the first month of 2025, my prediction fully realized. Planes falling from the sky, probably due to some form of DEI concern. We will be waiting for more investigation, but that's where we are at. Stephen, the things that we take for granted rely so much on the white heterosexual men of talent fomenting their meritocracy, refusing, rejecting the DEI dogmas, and the society has been working on this in the background forever. And you just break this for 4 years under a Biden administration, and you end up with a spectacular accident of the kind that we haven't seen in America for more than 20 years. John Drake says Trump basically said it was DEI already. Very interesting, the strategy of Trump, because someone not skilled in media could easily have fallen for becoming the responsible for this accident, because he's the president now. This was a military operation under his command, basically. And it would have been very easy for the media to put it on the back of Trump. But Trump went very aggressive, stated in advance before showing the evidence that it was DEI. And probably, of course, he knew at least that the pilot was a woman. So he knew he had an opening there, and he grabbed it quick. And then you had the leftist media starting their debunking and saying, well, there's no evidence. Well, don't you think that the president has more evidence than you do and that he would be releasing at this point? So very intelligent Trump strategy here, because he ends up controlling the public discourse about this and successfully putting it on the side, on the shoulders of DEI, even if we don't know everything about what's been happening. But the co-pilot or pilot in command, so the person that was controlling the helicopter, was a woman with 500 hours of flying experience. She was in training with a 1,000-hour man who was commander-in-chief of the flight. Cosmic Nut says, none of the news will say it was a woman. Well, it's starting now because we just learned this afternoon, but we're going to have to face the fact that women, although they can be good in certain fields, they can be performing okay, fundamentally, and this shows even in the IQ test, they have a weakness, which is 3D positioning. Women simply do not see the world in 3D. That is just a fact. They don't interact with 3D environments in the same physical way that men do. And that is because they have evolved with less traveling experience. So it was less needed for a woman to conceive of the world in 3D space and in map forms than it was for men. For that reason, no matter how much you apply selection, you end up, yes, with the Mario Bros. World, DK Shadow, 2D woman. you end up with someone who, no matter the level of intelligence, even if she's hyper-selected, she will be hyper-selected against hyper-selected men, because you could have hyper-selected in the population of white men who are high intelligence and high spatial cognition. Or you select within the population of females who, it is argued, have an average IQ that is equal to that of men, but it's a skewed distribution. There's less geniuses and there's less cognitive spatial capabilities. So if you were to put the bell curves, let me draw it here, because this is data that is super hard to get, but from what we know, it must look like this. So let's say you have the woman intelligence. So you have IQ, and presumably it would be something like this, a normal curve centered at 100. Now you have the male intelligence. The male intelligence is more spread out. There are more retarded males. And when they are retarded, they are more retarded. So here you have male. And here you have female. Not only this, to get this line to be equal for male and female, you have to have given value to verbal IQ test. And you have to have discounted as a result of this spatial cognition test. Because if you were to do spatial cognition test only, the reality is that the male, the true male line would be something to the right of females. It would be something like this. And you would find out that males are superior on spatial cognition. But no matter whether you pick your geniuses in that section of the curve, or if you're talking about super geniuses, you end up here. And I think that the level of selection we apply for flight pilots is right here. So it's in the 120 minimum, I would say, part of the curve. And so notice here, you would have a lot of midwit females, not super good at spatial cognition. If you could be a midwit flight pilot for helicopters, there would be no problem for females. But suffice that you're into the 120 IQ genius and super genius at 130, 140. And on top of it, you are working on a discounted IQ test that discounts spatial cognition. You may have actually in this category about 100 times more males that are fit for helicopter piloting. Now that becomes a problem, because when the FAA under Biden starts saying we have set a 3% hiring target, 3% hiring target for people with missing extremities, people with psychiatric disorders, people who are diversified. Now, imagine you impose on a ratio that is naturally 100x to 1. Imagine you impose a 3% hiring rate for these people in minorities, including females. You find yourself with a pilot that may not have the same spatial cognition as a male, and you find yourself with this pilot being promoted to the places where normally you would have had a male genius with 3D cognition. Now, this is a huge problem, because it may be that we lost 60-some lives yesterday. So, and it turned out that it was the plane was filled with skaters, artistic skaters that do these Olympic things. They train for, you know, doing this cute gay skating thing. 67. So there were people of excellence in a field that is okay, very gay, but it's still a field of meritocratic realizations, and three soldiers were in the helicopter, and they may have been lost because of this curve I just drew. They may have been lost because of the difference between the demands of the Biden administration and the reality. Now, if you wanted to be genuinely inclusive, what you would do is you would acknowledge first the reality. So, okay, females, in the category of people who can pilot an helicopter, females are 100 times rarer than males. Therefore, we should aim for 1% female helicopter drivers, and we should make sure that they pass all the tests that a male would have otherwise passed. Even if you were to do this, you would still run some risk, because there is the risk that your tests aren't capturing the full reality of the thing. So there is the risk that we live in a patriarchy, we live in a society, and that society has kind of a recipe for success that is secret. It's secret bigotry. Now, the secret bigotry is not detectable by test, but it's just the fact that people, when they interview each other, they have all these feelings, they have these prejudices, these emotions, and they end up choosing the right guy. The guy that sounds, feels confident, and it turns out that this guy is good not only because he can do the test, but because he's a guy. And because guys have secret types of cognitions that are not yet detectable by your psychological test. Now, leaving that aside, if you wanted to engage on the axiom that, yes, we do have the right test to tell you what is a good helicopter pilot, then, even then, you should take into account the reality of the differentiation between the two curves I've seen. No one has ever done this. All of these DEI experts under Biden, they came with assumptions, the assumption of equality. And when you work with that assumption, you break from reality. And this tension between the 3% that they wanted, and the 3% was just for extreme psychiatric disorders. They probably wanted 50% for females. Now, if you're at 50% versus the reality, which is probably something like 1 to 100, you are trying to pressure into a path of career 50 times more people than can do it. 50 times more. So out of 50 flights, you're running massive risks in 49 of them. This is the math of what's going on here. You can, of course, the whole political combat that you see between Joe Biden and Trump is a combat between, oh, DEI, and, oh, we're going to squash DEI. But there is math behind this, and the kind of math I've been interested in for 20 years. And no one talks about the math. No one talks about the freaking math, but I would love if we could have a public conversation. All right, just to illustrate my case of the 2D brain of females, this is how females see cakes. This is a form of art that I really like. It's outline 2D art in the 3D space. I really love this form of art. I'm a big fan. But it allows you to see how do females see cakes. Look at them building the cake, okay? So at first it may seem like it's just a regular cake. Okay, there's some icing. Now you're within male cognition. You see a 3D cake and you're like, wow, that's just a regular piece of cake. Here's how female cognition works. It's in the outline, the visual perception of the outline. Poof, suddenly you have the impression that you're in front of a drawing. A pencil drawing. So, what happened yesterday is there was a female flying an helicopter over that cake, and she didn't know it was a 3D space. She didn't know she was about to enter in collision with the candle. because she saw the cake as 2D. That is what happens when you have the deficit of cognition of females, and it had grave consequences yesterday. A man's face is his autobiography, a woman's face is her work of fiction. Oscar Wilde. What a quote. What a quote. I do like the idea that my face, you know, people who are, and people who hate me, they make comments about my hairline or my face looking old or tired. I actually love the way I look the more I get old. I actually love having pouches under my eyes, because to me, everything that matters in a man's contribution to the world is not the man's feeling. It's not whether I feel good or I've had enough sleep. I want to have had too little sleep every day of my life. I want to pursue success in whatever I undertake to the cost of my feelings, to the cost of my face. And I want my injuries to be featured on my face. To me, it would be absolutely badass if I could have some sword hits on the face and some scars from war. I know I don't engage in war, so I won't have such scars. But I am I'm totally fine with aging as a male. Andy Ngo is revealing some very important, shocking story. He thinks he has identified a pattern of killings across the U.S., which indicate that there is a group of extremist trans killers that is coordinating various attacks against policemen, against people that they perceive to be anti-trans or whatever, and they're killing people, and they're successfully getting away with it across the U.S. I had to get in touch with the FBI over something urgent in the course of my investigation into the Antifa trans terror cult. I am shocked that they are clueless about what's happening. Huh? What? Who's that? Cash Patel, you have a lot of work on your hands. The cell still has members at large, and more are at risk of being killed. There appears to be a trans terror cell in the U.S. involved in serial killings. The Vermont Police Border Patrol officer shot dead on Inauguration Day was the fourth known victim. You know, I hate sensationalism, but I can't escape the evidence I'm seeing. Very, very important discovery by Andy Ngo here. I see that I forgot to redo my filters from yesterday's gaming stream. Let's refocus here the window. Boop. So we should follow up, because there may be a bunch of trans killers or killer trans people who are trans and they are anti-government, anti-immigration, and they are targeting people that they in secret that they feel are against the trans agenda, and especially given the recent order of Trump against trans stuff, it could heat up. They could continue on their killing spree. Men to Men Alliance sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, nobody's wrong, nobody's right. How do you forget a stranger that plagues your day? How do you feel when it comes to pass? There's something there, but it's not quite right. How do you know? Does it make you mad? He is quoting from a YouTube video, Our Lady Peace, The Birdman. I'll listen to this later. Our Lady Peace, 15 years ago, uploaded to YouTube, The Birdman. Okay, I don't know this song. President Trump is absolutely rocking it with executive orders. President Trump has just signed a school choice executive order expanding educational freedom and opportunity for families. Basically, he's ordering within 60 days, the Secretary of Education must come back to him with a plan on how do we make school choice, especially not force parents into public school from states, and how to give school choice, which means children carrying their check, whether children carrying their check to the school that they choose. So if your school is if your school sucks, you're going to end up with just the bottom of students choosing you, and you will have not much money. If your school is good, you will get parents to choose you, and they will bring the money from the federal government to your school. And I hope that this will also take into account homeschooling, because economically, it doesn't make sense that people are working to keep their children in schools that they don't like. Economically, what would make the most sense is, hey, if you have all this budget, if you have literally $20,000 per kid, why don't you just give that $20,000 to the parent? The parent will do an awesome job at raising their children at home. And the only reason we don't do this is this kind of cartel that the Democrats have established onto our society, because the Democrats are in bed with teachers of the state. They like central control. They like unions. And these unions are very conscious that if we were to pay parents to do their job, we would be saving enormous amounts of money, because a parent knows better what their children need. A parent will not be so distant genetically from the child as to impose thresholds that they can't achieve. Like, we're making these public schools with central standards of passing, and then we're realizing, oh, well, not everyone is capable of reaching this. So what are we going to do? Oh, now we have special standards. Now, if you're a woman, it's okay that you don't perform in physical education. If you're black, we're gonna just give you free grades. So we are creating a central standard, and we're not even adhering to it. So nothing holds anymore. You can walk around this whole complex maze of experts and public school teachers and psychological experts who are there to help children in need. You can detour around this and say, you're going to be cared for by the parent who produced you and brought you into the world, and it's going to be a free-for-all. If your parent is stupid, then perhaps you deserve to be stupid too, and perhaps that's all you can be, really. And it's okay. There's place for stupid people in the society. I mean, basically, most jobs require stupid people. Not helicopter pilot, though. Shamrock Shake says, I can see them trying to outlaw homeschooling. Absolutely, they will, but at least we have at the federal government now a Trump who is highly, favorable to this. Now, we learn also that Trump has officially announced 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Beautiful. I love this. Now, you have noticed that Men to Men Alliance has sent me a $6.66 super chat. That's because I had to impose tariffs on my super chats as a countermeasure. In fact, Men to Men Alliance just wanted to send me $5. But he sent me $6.66 because I have to charge a tariff of 25% to start an economic war with Trump. It's not that I don't like it. I love it. I love that he has imposed tariff. But as a Canadian creator, I must fight back. And therefore, I am imposing a 25% tariff on all Super Chats. So you will enter like $100. It's going to give me $125, because that is just what it is. Going forward, I am at economic war with Trump until this situation can be resolved. But I really like that Trump is doing this. First, because it's going to push Canada into realizing that this whole system that we've created on this side of the border is a virtual system that's not based around actual production. Jordan Peterson had a very good article this week in the National Post, where he explains basically that this is the beginning of a tension. He wasn't talking about the tariffs because he wrote the article before the tariffs, but this whole tension around possible tariffs is a tension that ultimately should lead Alberta to review its position within Canada and understand its position within Canada as a victim of abuse. We are literally victim of abuse, us Albertans, because that's all I identify as at this point. I am no more a Quebecois. I am a Albertan, a fan of oil drilling and beef. And Alberta must understand that you have a sickness that has overtaken all of Canada, and it's living off from your productive work. It's living off from Alberta's productive work. It is I'm paraphrasing Jordan Peterson here. It is posing as morally superior because, oh, we don't pollute in Quebec. No, but you fund an entire government apparatus of oppression of individual rights, kidnapping of children, kidnapping of business rights and attacks on business rights. And you do so with oil money. You are literally powered by fossil fuel. Your government agencies are powered by the so-called federal transfers, which is the federal government deciding you are a poor province, you are a rich province, we're going to take from you and give to you. But how do these provinces make themselves poor? By becoming increasingly unsustainable fiscally. Quebec is unsustainable fiscally, they know it, but it's a position of advantage that they adopt willfully, because the more fiscally unsustainable you can be, the more you're going to drain money from Alberta. And Jordan Peterson's message is at some point, Alberta will have a choice between what Trump can offer to it and what the rest of Canada can offer to it. The rest of Canada right now is saying, we will not let you sell your oil at regular price. We're going to drain from you. We're going to take taxes. We're going to take federal transfers. We take all these things. And on top of it, we're going to shit on your head and tell you that you're evil for burning gas and for extracting that oil. And yet we're going to consume that oil in full. So this is what Canada has to offer to Alberta. What does Trump have to offer to Alberta? An equal place among the states. No taxation over the oil, no federal transfer of pumping the money out of Alberta into socialist programs. It is absolutely beautiful what Alberta could look like as a United States state. Roddy Lacid says, Jeff, imagine you have a fence between you and your neighbor and it is broken. And your neighbor says to you, hey, Jeff, let's fix this fence and stop rats from going through. Stop people from walking through our backyard. Let's put an end to it. What kind of lunatic would say no, like Justin Trudeau did? Yes, and so this whole tariff is beginning either a negotiation or a war. I don't know what are Trump's intents. Sometimes he puts these tariffs and then he gets something that he wanted and he removes the tariffs. So perhaps he's setting up for a quick negotiation of a specific point with Trudeau. But if he continues on the tariff line, we know what Trudeau's reaction will be. Trudeau has said that he wants to basically communify the economy of Canada. Trudeau has threatened that he would respond to tariffs by injecting printed money into the Canadian economy. Communism as a solution to tariffs. Unbelievable. Or the classical, the traditional way in which he could have handled these tariffs is to start a tariff war. Because let's face it, Trump is exporting a lot of things to Canada. So Justin Trudeau could very well say, well, okay, you put 25% tariffs. We're going to put 25% tariffs too. All of this really is doesn't matter. What matters is at least something is happening, and at least we have a man with an American produced at home vision that is that has taken over the U.S. That is a good thing. Now, I'm not a big fan of tariffs. Tariffs are inefficiencies in the system, of course. But you could argue that from the vision of Trump, they are replacing even bigger inefficiencies in the system. And as such, they are fine to go with. Trump announces here the tariffs.
Subsidies that we're giving to Canada and to Mexico in the form of deficits. And I'll be putting the tariff of 25% on Canada and separately 25% on Mexico. And we will really have to do that because we have very big deficits with those countries. Those tariffs may or may not rise with time.
Mr. President, part of that.
So if the situation is it leads Trudeau to print money, what you would consider a possible outcome of this is an absolute devaluation of the Canadian dollar. Basically, Trudeau is suggesting that he's going to take the route of China, of what China has been doing forever, an absolute devaluation of the Canadian dollar. So don't count on the Canadian dollar strength. It's going to look bad going forward. And the consequence for people inside Canada is a virtualization and a statization of our economy. Because when the state does this, of course, the legitimately productive parts of society are punished. Because you have all this free money raining down on people, whereas the productive people of society, they have accumulated their savings at hard work, you know, and then poof, someone beside them has more money than them and has done nothing for it. So it's an absolute devastating consequence for the Canadian economy. But do I care? I don't because I'm a man of the world. The planet is my oyster. I do not care if Canada gets punished into oblivion, because first, I know that I will survive it, Alberta will survive it, and ultimately, these unproductive economies, they will mostly punish the socialist part of the countries, which I absolutely despise. The pilot in command of the Black Hawk that crashed into the passenger jet over DC was a woman. I don't think that's the actual photo of her. Maybe it is. I don't know. But a general picture of woman driving helicopters has been shown. So the pilot in command or co-pilot was a female with 500 hours of flying experience. The Black Hawk crew chief identified as Ryan O'Hara. He was also being evaluated at the time. So you had two people operating this helicopter. The female was driving it. The commander-in-chief was beside her. Both of them were being evaluated for their ability to drive an helicopter. So, and we know that there were three soldiers in the helicopter. So who was the third person? An evaluator? Or was it just staff? I don't know. Was it the third person was evaluating these two people? Because they say he was also being evaluated at the time. So there were two people being evaluated then. And if there was a third person, that must have been the person evaluating, wouldn't it? Or maybe the evaluations are happening remotely. But then, are you serious? You're sending people in training in the dark in Washington, D.C., around the Potomac River, where so many planes are taking off and landing. Holy shit. So Trump seized the opportunity to frame the discourse around DEI. Trump came out today and said what's happening is because of years of DEI policies under Biden.
Mr. President, on DEI and the claims that you've made, are you saying this crash was somehow caused and the result of diversity hiring? And what evidence?
So at the time she asked this question, it's not been revealed yet that it was a female.
have you seen to support these claims?
It just could have been. We have a high standard. We've had a higher, much higher standard than anybody else. And there are things where you have to go by brain power. You have to go by psychological quality. And psychological quality is a very important element of it. These are various, very powerful tests that we put to use, and they were terminated by Biden. And Biden went by a standard that's the exact opposite. So we don't know, but we do know that you had two planes at the same level. You had a helicopter and a plane. That shouldn't have happened. And we'll see. We're going to look into that, and we're going to see. But certainly for an air traffic controller, we want the brightest, the smartest, the sharpest. We want somebody that's psychologically superior. And
now Trump is raising questions about the air traffic controller, and I think it's important. That being said, there is no evidence yet that the air control was wrong. Because the air control has warned about the possible collision. We have the audio. And basically, what the audio shows is the air controller warned the helicopter there is a possible collision with this vehicle, with this vessel, and said, I'm giving you the permission to pass behind. So when you say pass behind, it's because you're telling this other vehicle you're going to pass forward. So they were planning that the plane would go first and that the helicopter can go behind. That avoids the collision normally. Now, this verbal instruction was given to the helicopter pilot, and the helicopter pilot answered, okay. And it seems that they may answer that they have visual confirmation of the plane, that they see it, and so they're going to fly around it. They're going to fly behind it as instructed properly by the air traffic controller. So I see no error of the air traffic controller here. What's happening is that, and this is where female cognition is extremely important. It's very hard to see within the lights of the city of Washington, D.C., differentiates between rising planes, descending planes, other lights. The female pilot was looking at a plane that was probably the wrong plane. So it's a, so when you say you are in a trajectory for collision, you have to understand the dynamics of the coming plane. You have to understand your path with respect to them. And she was looking at another plane and saying, oh, I have visual confirmation. It's going to be fine. I'm going to pass behind just as you instructed. Now, that was it. That was it. She was probably looking at another plane. As far as the early evidence goes, this is my temporary conclusion until something else gets discovered. This was not a terroristic attack. It was probably simply just incompetence of being able to visually identify a target that you were warned about. Now, there are difficulties at night, but you're supposed to have the spatial cognition to take your instruments, know about the path of general planes that are in this region and how the airport is configured, and know that if you get told a plane is about to land, you should find it at a certain place. The pilot probably looked elsewhere. There were rumors, discussions around, well, this helicopter is remotely controllable. I don't think that this was a case of hacking and sabotage. I don't think that it was remotely controlled intentionally to strike the plane. In fact, when you study the video and the direction of the helicopter, it goes on for a long, long time before it strikes. I mean, just how long this is impressive, actually. And you have a straightforward trajectory. We will have a look at the video now. So here you have the plane that will come. So this is the plane. It's going to come into view. And this is the helicopter. Look at the straightforward trajectory. I mean, you already had kind of a projected collision here. The plane is advancing. The plane is getting ready to land at the airport. The helicopter is here. Now, notice the levels. At first, the helicopter was flying low. Okay, that is one error that the helicopter pilot probably did here. The helicopter was cleared for flying very low. But the helicopter at the moment of the crash was 200 feet above their allowed height. So the helicopter went way too high. Now, compare the helicopter height here. See, now here they are probably in their permitted height. And you can see that the plane is clearly above. Now, compare with here. See this move right here? The helicopter rose right here. Helicopter rises. Now the helicopter is outside of its allowed range in this area. So not only do we have a possible collision, but the helicopter is abnormally higher. New guy says she's still pulling on that stick. Yes, there was a stick pull right here that happened right here that changed the level of the helicopter into a band area, which was 200 feet above the allowed area. So now you have a possible collision. Now you have the communications that presumably around that moment, the air traffic controller says, look, there's a possible collision. You're going to have to visually identify the plane and pass behind it. And this is where we don't get much feedback from the helicopter. The helicopter just continues its straight trajectory. Now, given the flight information, we can conclude that at the very last minute, as they were about to collide, both vessels turned toward the camera. So you're going to see it in the form of this video. It's going to be in the form of a slowdown of their horizontal progression. That's because they are still at the same speed, but they both veer, perhaps seeing the potential collision or perhaps not seeing it, but they both veer toward our direction. And look at this, the collision is about to happen. Is it possible that this plane was confused for this plane and that this helicopter, because if you look at this plane, this helicopter is realistically in a very good position to go behind. So if you're the pilot of this helicopter and you're looking at this one, of course you're going to end up behind. You're perfectly placed to end up behind. And so you see this plane is going that way. And you're like, oh, no problem. I have no problem right here. I'm going to pass behind this plane. But this is a taking off plane. This is a landing plane. This is where spatial cognition is again important. You have in a few seconds of seeing the directionality of this plane, you have to conceive in your head, oh, this plane is rising. This plane is landing. If this plane is rising that I'm about to follow behind, that I've been instructed to follow behind, there's something wrong because I've been instructed to pass behind a landing plane. And here, boom, you have the explosion. So it was an helicopter really entering into collision with a plane that couldn't do anything about it. That is my conclusion. So the fault here relies on the inappropriateness of the helicopter movements, where a plane couldn't do much to avoid this, although they had some signs because the FAA controller said there's a possible collision. They couldn't change much. What happened is that they were following their assigned trajectory. The helicopter was instructed to visually pass behind the plane and didn't do it for some reason. And that may be simply because of a misidentification visually of which plane they had to pass behind. Or perhaps, as some people have theorized, a misidentification of some of the lights on the ground perhaps were mistaken for a plane. Roddy Lassid says, this is why we need AI pilots, so no more women need to die in these kinds of horrible accidents. I would trust a Tesla Blackhawk autopilot more than a woman. That is interesting. I think it's an interesting direction. AI, if AI had maximal self-awareness, and if AI had full coordination through the internet, it probably wouldn't make errors of that kind. However, in an hostile environment, I don't know how AI does. Because it's one thing to know where every plane is and know how to avoid them. It's another thing to face hostile movements and war. And in a way, these helicopter pilots were trained for emergencies and war and matters of national security flying above the Potomac. I will say yesterday I have seen a video of a man who filmed these helicopters flying over the Potomac River. And he said, I was alarmed because I was taking off with my plane and they were right there just to our left. And so some guy was alarmed 6 days ago, seeing what these helicopters were pulling at the heart of DC. It's fantastic. I mean, we have here a man who has seen stuff and said, that's dangerous. And in fact, he was right. He was right. 6 days ago, he says, that's dangerous. And he was right. I hope that that not only is there an investigation into the technicalities of all this, but the Trump government should call this guy who made the tweet, because he knew about it, he saw it. They were kind of cowboyish, these helicopters flying just beside, very close to a landing and taking off plane. Yeah, this was cowboy moves made by a cowgirl. Do you have a plan to visit the site? Says one journalist.
Do you have a plan to go visit the site or meet with any of the
officials? I have a plan to visit, not the site, because what did you tell me? What's the site? The water?
Or to meet with the first responders? Do you have a plan?
I love that we have a president who's like grounded in reality, and what site are you talking about? You want me to go swimming? I love that we have this. Some of the victims of this terrible crash, many Asians and white people who were, because for some reason figure skating is featuring Asians and whites, this combo of a young boy and a young girl who were a U.S. figure skating team, some medals around their neck. They were among the victims in the plane. So it looks like we lost much talent. And here we have the video that shows that there was a possible collision detected very early in all this. So all of the job on the possible collision detection was made. What was wrong is that the helicopter didn't correct properly in response to known collision detection software. So that was the radar data here. It's kind of weird. They're like manual drawings, and I don't know. I'm not an expert of all this, but it does look cheapish. Like this green screen. But anyway, sometimes it's enough to be good. Now, see, this is the plane flight. This is the helicopter. The helicopter is instructed, go behind the plane. Now, is this helicopter seeing this? Or is this helicopter seeing this? Let me tell you, the helicopter mistaking this plane for this plane is extremely realistic to me. Because if I'm in that helicopter and I see that plane here, I know that if I continue on a straight trajectory toward this plane, by the time I arrive to a point of collision, that plane will have moved forward and I will effectively have realized the FAA order to pass behind the plane. I'll tell you what, I'm almost certain that this is a case of mistaken plane, this one for this one. Because if you look at the trajectory of this helicopter, it's positioning just perfectly to pass behind this plane. Like, imagine that this doesn't exist. This is a perfect flight path to arrive behind this plane. And boom, there was another plane right there. So poor identification of the visual environment, poor spatial cognition, poor translatability between what the instruments are saying and the reality around you. Those are all symptoms of womanry. DK Shadow says, woman didn't check in her blind spot. Pretty much, that's pretty much what has happened. Now, it doesn't mean that all of the responsibility lies on the pilot. There are people who are experienced are saying that the pilot, the 1,000 more experienced co-pilot or commander-in-chief, as they call crew-in-chief, that sometimes it's their responsibility to look around, to go for the hidden angles, and to even take their head sometimes out of the chopper to see angles that the pilot doesn't see. So is it a failure to do his job? And to that, I would say we're still talking about a DEI issue here, but we're talking about the problem of men have reduced spatial cognition when they are around female. It's toxic. It's infectious. It's infectious when we are around females, we are in another mood. We are trying to impress them, trying to have sex with them. We are not thinking about our spatial cognition, and we become females around females. Did you know that 3,000 top-performing applicants for air traffic controllers were rejected by the FAA?
Foundation is part of a class action on behalf of 900 plus would-be air traffic controllers. And so we brought this suit based on the FAA's change in its hiring practices. So it used to be that they would score a pre-employment test and it would be based on merit. And all of our clients passed with flying colors.
Yes, new guy says, afraid to confront woman. There is a sickness that happens with men in high achieving jobs, and I know because it's been happening to me. And you have this little woman who shows up, she wants to learn, she wants to be challenged, and you're like, that's it, that's my art for the world. I will impose a level of work on this woman and show that the woman can do it. I was like this 15 years ago. And I was kind of, maybe I was brainwashed by the feminist leftist system as an academic. But man, these women were coming into my lab and I was like, she's going to be good. I'm gonna show that she can handle monkeys in ways that are equal to that of a man. And you end up convincing yourself of this narrative. Imagine if the crew in chief was on this program, on this narrative. And he's been brainwashed on this for 4 years. He's been under the administration that's firing all white men and trying to replace them with trans and people without extremities. That means people without arms, literally. Air traffic control. We have a landing. I mean, you can't even celebrate your landing without arms.
There's many of them passed with 100% on this test, and the FAA decided that the pool of air traffic controller applicants was too white, and so they flushed that initial test, and they adopted a biographical assessment, which you can already hear as an...
A biographical assessment. And you know how to score well in the biographical assessment. You just write 1,000 times, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And people are, oh my God, this would be a perfect traffic controller.
An ominous term for a air traffic controller test. And unfortunately, our clients didn't pass that. And we allege that the FAA changed the test in order to gerrymander the racial group. Representing.
Wow. This video existed before yesterday. I mean, it's been happening. It's been happening to the FAA. They were taken over by wokeness. So the narrative of Trump works here. And here you have an experienced Black Hawk helicopter pilot. I was a Black Hawk helicopter crew chief in the Army. I was even a flight instructor. This means that I trained crew chiefs and ensured that they completed all training annually to maintain their flight ratings. One massive responsibility we had was to be the eyes for the pilots. So this is where I say it's not necessarily just female piloting. It may be a failure on the side of the male that was assisting the female here. We handled airspace obstacle avoidance and communicated potential risks to the pilots. Quite often we would train as a flight of two or three birds flying in formation. It was my job to have my head out the window and tell the pilots that the aircraft behind us was staggered right at three discs. We measured close distances in terms of the diameter of our rotor discs. I can tell you after doing this for hundreds of hours, even when you know exactly where a Black Hawk is and you have night vision goggles on, it is extremely hard to see the aircraft. These birds are designed to be hard to see at night. The red and green lights on the side get lost in the lights of the city below. The only lights on top of the aircraft are called slime lights because they are very, very dim green. Incredibly difficult to see. Now, in hindsight, this commentary is not so relevant because the fact that the Black Hawk was hard to see is not the problem here. It's the Black Hawk was driven into the plane trajectory. If you are above the helicopter, even if it has its floodlight or spotlight, two different lights on underneath it, it is still hard to see the bird because all of that illumination is below the airframe. Another thing people should know is just how busy things can get on the aircraft. Pilots are talking to each other about what they are observing on the instrument panels. This means neither are looking outside the aircraft. The crew chief might be conducting a fuel check where we would also be looking up into the cockpit at the fuel gauges and the clock. This can lead to moments where all three people on the aircraft are all looking inside the aircraft. It's not supposed to happen that way. We are supposed to announce when we are coming inside or back outside the aircraft. But that doesn't always happen. Also, in cities like DC, the radio traffic is constant and can make it hard to filter out what is important for you to listen to. Checking instruments, doing math, reading checklists, and listening to people radios all at the same time is hard. Mistakes happen. Anyone out there telling you that they find the aircraft collision to be suspect have never been in a flight crew and they have zero idea what they are talking about. Ignore them all. Better yet, mock the hell out of them. 999 times out of 1,000 aircraft incidents always come down to a series of pilot and crew errors. Humans are involved. They aren't perfect. Tonight, my heart and mind is with the families of those involved in this tragic event. So, in summary, here we have the victims. Here a father of one of the victims. I note that this father is white and that this victim is Asian. How does that work?
Ken in the Olympics and decided, hey, I could do that. And even though people train since they're, you know, a small child and it takes them years and years to develop skills, he started and, like, you know, learned to skate, and 3 years later he's in Wichita, Kansas, on the national development team for U.S. figure skating.
All right, so lots of broken hearts. Mail order brides, says new guy. That's how it works. So he has a Asian breeder. Okay. So all in conclusion, we have here a helicopter crew that flew 200 feet above its allowed height. That was a big problem. You had a problem that was causing a situation that in the first place shouldn't have happened. Because if the plane and the helicopter was separated by this 200 feet, they wouldn't have collided because it's 3D collision. I mean, you need to be at the right height, at the right time. There's much that has to happen for two points in 3D space to even touch each other. So we're talking about a helicopter crew that was too high. We're talking about the air traffic controller that they said that they were not in a normal employment situation. They said the air controller employment was not normal. I'm like, not normal? What the fuck does that mean? Does that mean Down syndrome? Does that mean he had no hand? But not normal here seems to mean that in normal situations, you have in Washington, D.C., an entire air controller person dedicated to helicopters and one dedicated to planes. And on that night, it seems that the same person was in charge of both the planes and the helicopters. That may have added to their cognitive load, but it didn't result in an error as far as I can see, because he did his job to warn the helicopter and say, you're going to assess visually that there's a plane. Please confirm that you see it and please pass behind. So the instructions were given. They were given in time. And it's just that there was a probably added to this stack of two causes already, two contributing factors. You then had the fact that there was a misidentification of which plane it was that she had to pass behind. The sum of these three conditions has resulted in the crash of yesterday, in my view. It's still a temporary judgment because there can be much data that comes out. But to me, this is what I retain from all the research I've done today in terms of the causal structure of all this. We have DEI. We have misapplication of rules, and we have mostly a helicopter pilot induced set of errors here. The rest of the system appears to have done their job. Adult star Emily Willis, 25, suffered devastating brain damage and was permanently disabled after cardiac arrest during ketamine addiction treatment at Summit Malibu. Her family is now suing. Well, I can't believe that people are getting addicted to ketamine in 2025. Because ketamine, my first contact with ketamine was, it was what I was using as a 18, 19-year-old young biological student undergrad at the University of Montreal. It's what we were using to put the rabbits to sleep before we were killing them. Ketamine to me is this superpower. It's this drug that's so fucked up that you only give it to animals that will die right after it. And then, yes, ketamine can be used for temporary sedation, but to me it was the drug, the final drug. It was the drug before an animal dies. The fact that people are consuming this crap on the street... and becoming addicted to it. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh yeah, you got brain damage, but you were consuming some shit, lady. Blanket says, Jeff, you've done it before. No, I would never try ketamine. I've been an experimental guy wanting to try everything, but I would never attempt to try ketamine. Are you fucking kidding me? This is not, and it's being given as medicine also, both recreational and medicine. They're starting to use it as some sort of calming against anxiety, I think. Don't do this. Don't do ketamine. Don't do it. Elon Musk is sleeping at the Doge offices, steps away from the White House, we learn. Elon Musk is taking his role so hard to reduce governmental spending that he's sleeping at the Doge and he wants to cut the budget of the government. Hopefully he succeeds. Although, as I've made the argument before, increasing the inefficiency of the government is like... it's contradictory in terms. It's a contradiction in terms. The government doesn't want to be more efficient. If you increase its efficiency, it's just going to pour that money down other inefficient paths. The only way the government can be efficient is by not existing, by being so small that it doesn't exist. Bryce Mitchell is under fire after stating that Hitler was a good guy and he had a response from... Dana White had to come out to disavow. But what I like is that Dana White says he's not going to be punished. So of course, Dana White did his kneeling to the Israeli Jewish anti-arrest. Oh, the other cost. Oh, $6 million. But he's saying, in the end, what matters is he's saying, you know what? If you hate Bryce Mitchell for saying these things about Hitler, just come to the next UFC. He may get his ass whooped in the ring. So I love this thing. I love this idea that, look, they are warriors. They stand for their own beliefs. And I'm not going to come into a warrior's life and tell them to think this or think that or not say this. So let's listen to the original statement that made a lot of noise on social media.
Hitler hailing the Nazis. I really don't think that he was, because I honestly think that Hitler was a good guy based upon my own research, not my public education indoctrination. I really do think before Hitler got on meth, he was a guy to go fishing with. He fought for his country. He wanted to purify it by kicking the greedy Jews out that were destroying his country and turning them all into gays. They were gaying out the kids. They were queering out the women. They were queering out the dudes. They were, you know, what her first tranny surgery ever was? Happened to be in Germany before Hitler took over. You know, the books that everybody makes fun of Hitler burning. You know what the books was? Queer books. Hitler burned queer books because Hitler didn't want a bunch of queers destroying his nation. They can't produce children.
But what, okay? What about?
Look, factually, there is not much argument to be had here. Factually, is it true historically that? Yeah, I don't know what the meth thing is. Was Hitler on meth? That is a separate question. But in terms of the historical deployment, it is correct that Hitler was combating Jewish influence on German culture. He was perceiving it as bad. That is all true. And it is true that part of this influence included the queer movement. The queer movement. So the response of Dana White to this,
get started here. Let me get some fucking dumb shit out of the way first here. I'm out here have fun doing power slap tonight, and I'm sure you guys heard what
the slap stuff is kind of disgusting. I have difficulty getting into that sport. I love the UFC, I love mixed martial art. But the idea of standing there with your hand behind your back and receiving the biggest slap that your adversary can give, to me, is unacceptable from a neuroscientific perspective. This is not something you do to the brain. It's not particularly intelligent. There's no strategy. It's really just how much of a hit can your brain take. And long term, I think that this is going to lead to a lot of long-term injuries that you're not going to hear very much about. You're going to end up having people 20 years down the line having cognitive reduction.
Bryce Mitchell said, if you haven't, said some probably, I've heard a lot of dumb, ignorant shit in my day, but this one's probably the worst. When you talk about Hitler, he's responsible for the death of 6 million Jews, and he tried to completely...
So, this is... Is Hitler responsible for any Jew that has died between 1939 and 1946? Because there were Jews across all these countries, some of them initiating war, some of them initiating movement from the Soviet Union toward Germany... Is Hitler responsible for all of this? I don't think so. And so this phrasing is particularly interesting by Dana White, because you have some people who are very unaware of the details, and they will just straight out come out and say, Hitler just killed by his hand 6 million Jews. And you can know that these people haven't studied history. But this second layer, to say that Hitler is responsible for 6 million deaths, that is interesting. It's an interesting angle, because by what moral standard do you acquire the responsibility for the deaths that happen in war? Is George Bush responsible for 5 million deaths? under a low standard, maybe, under a low standard of guilt, maybe. But can we attribute all of the deaths of World War II to Hitler? Or does there need to be two? Do you need to be two to tango? Is there a part of the responsibility for the deaths that lies on the Soviet Union, on America, on the UK, on France? I think those are open questions that the comments of Bryce Mitchell can help the mind approach. But it's not with the attitude of Dana White, this unquestionable, I don't want to hear about it, it's dumb, it's not the truth that I learned about in school. This is not the right attitude to approach historical questions.
Eliminate a race of people. World War II was the deadliest war in history. 15 million military deaths, 45 million civilians.
Okay, but this is a war we've taken. We have undertaken against Hitler. I don't know that Hitler wanted World War II.
And 25 million soldiers were killed in World War II.
Many of which were killed at the hand of your country, the U.S.
Second of all, Hitler is one of the most disgusting and evil human beings to ever walk the face of the earth. And anyone that even tries to take an opposing position is a moron.
So here we have a purely aesthetic statement. Notice no fact. It's just a disgusting individual. Well, with cancel culture like this, the problem is that many people get caught in this cancel culture that are good people. This is precisely the point of Bryce Mitchell. If you look at how cancel culture operates today, it looks like this was applied to Hitler to some extent. It looks like it. You know, the same non-questionability, the same dogmatic approach, the same anyone who says the contrary is a moron is exactly this kind of dogma that we're trying to undo so that we can develop a real understanding of what went on.
That's the problem with the internet.
The internet is the problem. No, you know, the problem is with mainstream media and the public school that I've brainwashed you. The internet is merely here to question you and to help you become a better man, Dana White. Become a man who questions what he's being taught. Become a man who asks, how did you count? How did you count? Who did the counting? What was the method for counting?
And social media. You provide a platform for a lot of dumb, ignorant people. We've obviously reached out to Bryce, and when we read what he said and let him know how we feel about it, I don't even, we're beyond disgusted. So for those of you that don't know what's going on, good, you're lucky. For those of you that do, that's what.
So he makes this whole emotional performance, but of course the Jew is not interested at these easily addressed questions of feelings. You know, the Jew, you can give them credit for that. They would tell Dana White, facts don't care about your feeling, Dana White. Have you fired Bryce Mitchell? That is what the Jews care about. Is Bryce Mitchell still getting money?
Not a fun topic to talk about, the Bryce stuff. I think that's a great statement that you just gave. Does Bryce Mitchell face a punishment from the UFC for saying
that's what everybody wants to hear about punishments? Free speech. I don't have to love it. You don't have to love it. You know.
I agree with that, the free speech sentiment. Is there a concern, though, right, if he goes out and wins a fight and gets a mic?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this business. For all of you that hate Bryce Mitchell, you get to see him hopefully get his ass whooped on global television. I mean, what do you want me to say about it? You know how, where I am with free speech.
But what if Bryce wins against a handicapped Jewish trans person? What if he uses his terroristic statements to terrify his adversary?
We're disgusted by it. I think he's probably one of the dumbest literally one of the dumbest human beings. Let's not forget that this is a guy who took a drill through his nutsack, then had to reverse it and put the drill back out of his... That's the level of stupid that we're talking about here. And I could probably go on for 10 minutes talking about how dumb Bryce Mitchell is. But guess what? Bryce Mitchell has a podcast.
I believe this was episode 1.
What a way to start. But that's the world that we live in now. Dumb people. People who are...
I believe that was episode 1.
Really stupid and really ignorant can have a voice. We don't have to agree with it. We don't have to like it. I'm giving you mine and the UFC's position on what he had to say. You know, and this is no different than things that I've said about Strickland, you know. But I will say this. Out of all the dumb, ignorant shit I've heard in my life, this has to be the dumbest and most ignorant.
Last thing from me on this. When you spoke to Bryce about it and said, this is disgusting, did he have any sort of like, oh, I was just talking, or did he walk it back at all?
His thing was, I'm sorry if I put you guys in any position and, you know.
But not sorry for saying.
He's stupid. He's dumb. You can't fix dumb people.
Oh, man. We're winning so hard. We are winning so hard, guys, that in trying to dissociate from Bryce Mitchell's statement about the Holocaust, Dana White ends up making one of the most race realistic IQ statement, eugenic statement ever, and says, you can't fix dumb people. Well, that is what I've been trying to say, Dana White. That is kind of what I've been trying to explain to people. You can't fix dumb. And so don't hire dumb. Don't make policies to favor dumb in interviews. Don't put dumb people in helicopters. Don't put them in the FAA. And Dana White is... I love the sketch that he's doing here, kind of. Because it's so over the top that, in a way, you can see that he's acting it. It's so... I don't feel actual frustration here. I feel like someone who's been caught in a situation where he knows what he has to say. And everyone knows that he has to say these things. And he's making it so over the top that it's almost a comedic performance. It's almost as if he was blinking with his eyes saying, I'm saying these things because I have to. Beautiful. 2025 is going to be wild as fuck. Much love, everyone. Sleep well, and I'll see you all tomorrow.